live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this second day of September 2021. At the very strong and enthusiastic urging of my dear friend and one of my favorite guests, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, who is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the urging of his wife, Becky, I have on the program today someone who they think very highly of, to say the least, and I take Dr. Moorcraft and his wife, Becky's, opinions very, very seriously. Today my guest is Frank Brito. He is a translator, missionary, church planter, and pastor. And I'm of course going to have him correct my pronunciation of these Portuguese words here. Igreja Presbiteriana Reformada de Campo Bom in Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil. How did I do with that?
Well, that was great for an American.
And what does that mean?
It means Reformed Presbyterian Church in Campo Bom. Campo Bom is the name of the city.
And by the way, I forgot to ask you if I was even pronouncing your name correctly. Is it Brito or Brito?
Well, yes, that's correct. Brito.
Oh, the second one is the way. Okay.
Now that's Frank Brito.
So that's interesting. So in Portuguese, they would pronounce that Brito, not Brito, as a Spaniard would.
Well, actually, it depends on the kind of like on the accent of the person. There are many accents in Brazil.
Okay.
So don't worry about that.
All right, great. Well, tell us about your church.
Well, our church is in southern Brazil. We have been here in our mission work, doing our mission work ever since 2015. And we are part of an American denomination, Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery. And I'm in that denomination partly due to, well, entirely due to Joe Moorcraft. He invited me to be there at the time.
Well, obviously, as a true Calvinist, you would say that God used him as the earthly instrument.
Oh, yes, amen. It was really God's providence.
And this is a very conservative, I'm assuming, Presbyterian church, very confessional. And would you also share Dr. Moorcraft's theonomic and reconstructionist views?
Oh, yes. That's one of the main reasons I'm there. It's a very conservative denomination, and I share all my views with him and with the denomination in general. So that's why I'm actually there.
Well, I understand you do not yet have a website, but folks can find out more about you on Facebook.
Yes.
And how would they find you on Facebook? What would they type in?
Well, just type in the name of our church in Portuguese. If you don't know how to spell it, just go on Google Translator, write Reformed Presbyterian Church in Campo Bom, and then it'll be translated into Portuguese, and you can find out, you can see it there.
And Campo Bom is spelled C-A-M-P-O-B-O-M.
Correct.
Well, before we launch into the specific subject we are addressing today, how eschatology affects missions and church planting, and the challenges of both in Brazil, since you are a first-time guest, as we always do on this program, I'd like you to give us a summary of your salvation testimony, including the kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in and what kind of providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Okay. Well, I was born in Brazil, and I was raised in a very staunch Roman Catholic family, but we moved to the United States when I was 5 years old. We moved to New York City, and I was raised as a Roman Catholic, but at one point we were invited by friends to visit an evangelical church, and by God's providence, when we visited this church in New York City, the sermon was about the Second Commandment. And it was specifically an exposition of the Second Commandment based on Exodus 20. And because of this sermon, we were convinced that as Roman Catholics, we had been sinning against the Lord in the worship of images. And that's what convinced us. That's when I went through a true encounter with Jesus Christ. Well, later on, I found out that I actually break all the Ten Commandments, not only the second, but that was initially what the Lord used. And on the following day, we decided, look, if this is what the Bible teaches, we want to follow the Bible. And that's how I had my encounter with the Lord. It was very difficult in the beginning because not a long time after our conversion, we came back to Brazil.
When you say our, who are you referring to?
Okay, I was referring to my family.
You mean your parents and your siblings?
Oh, yeah. At the time, I had not yet turned 18. It was just before turning 18. And it was my mother, specifically my mother. And then we converted at this church in New York City. And after some time, we went back to Brazil.
Now, are you saying New York? Are you saying New York City?
Yeah, New York City.
Okay. For some reason, I thought you said France before. Did I misunderstand something?
Oh, no, not France.
All right. I don't know how I got France in my mind.
Okay. All right. And I was just a Christian for... Well, not a long time in New York City, because after that we came back to Brazil, and that's when I really began to grow as a Christian.
Well, praise God for that. And how did you discover Reformed theology?
Well, when I became a Christian, I came back to Brazil. The pastor at my church, he would tell all new believers to read the Gospel of John. And the first time I read the Gospel of John, I kind of suspected that John was teaching the idea of election, the idea that God chooses certain people to be saved. I suspected that, but because people around me would tell me that's not what it meant, I was like, well, I'm a new believer, so who am I to question their interpretation? But that was in the back of my mind.
Now, when you say that
several
was,
years.
When you say that was in the back of your mind, are you talking about just from what you were reading and hearing read from the text, or did you have some kind of experience hearing or reading a Reformed preacher or theologian before this?
No, up to that point, I had never heard of anyone. I didn't even have the words like tulip or these theological terms. I had never heard anyone teach that. I just read the New Testament, and I noticed in several locations, especially in John and Romans, that the writers, they were saying that we don't have free will. That's the way I understood it, without any contact with Reformed preachers.
So You said up until the point in your story that obviously non-reformed people were saying, oh, that's not what's in there. You're misreading it. You're eisegeting this or something.
Yeah, they were telling me that that was the wrong way to understand it. And I would accept their explanation because I was a new believer. So that's the only people I knew as a Christian. But I always had that suspicion in the back of my mind. And then as years went on, I eventually started reading theological websites, especially monergism. I was researching other stuff, and I found out about monergism and other websites in English. And that's when I realized that there was actually a position that articulated that. And that's when I became Reformed in adopting Reformed soteriology.
Now, your understanding of the Portuguese language, which is the dominant language of both Portugal and Brazil.
Yes.
Were your parents from Brazil? Is that what gave you a heart and passion for that country?
Oh, yes. I moved to the United States when I was 5 years old. So until I came back, I didn't really know what Brazil was like. But I have a dad, both my mom and my dad, but especially my dad, they're very patriotic about Brazil. So they were always telling me about how Brazil is great, and they were always forcing me to read things in Portuguese so I would never forget the language. So that's kind of how I preserved my understanding of the Portuguese language, because I would only go to school in English in New York City. But my mother was found that very important to make me, you know, understand the grammar and all of that.
Now, when you say New York City, which of the five boroughs are you speaking about?
Well, I lived in Queens.
Okay.
Astoria, Queens.
Yeah. And as I remind my friends from Queens and Brooklyn, since I am a native Long Islander, although live in Pennsylvania now, in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, I'm a native Long Islander, and I always remind my friends from Queens and Brooklyn, you are Long Islanders, too. You don't cross a bridge to get to Manhattan.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, now we are reaching the point in our discussion where we are addressing the theme today, how eschatology affects missions and church planting. And we will continue after that into the challenges of both of those in Brazil, the unique challenges. But why don't you define eschatology for those of our listeners who are perhaps new Christians? They've never heard that term. Perhaps they're not even Christians at all. So just define that for us.
Okay, the word eschatology, as many words in theology, it comes from the Greek. And it means the last things, the study of the last things. That means it's the field of study which is concerned with things like the purpose of God's creation, how the world will end, and what happens when we die, and how will the world come to its final purpose. So that would be eschatology, the study of last things.
And obviously, since you are the one who chose to speak on this subject, you believe this has a powerful effect on both missions and church planting. And even before we get to that point, we might as well spill the beans. If our listeners didn't already guess when you said that you've learned much of what you believe from Dr. Joe Moorcraft, and you've described yourself as not only a Presbyterian, but a theonomist and a Christian Reconstructionist, you are post-millennial, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And I just thought we might as well spill the beans on that so people wouldn't be distracted by trying to guess or wondering where you're coming from. So, tell us both in a negative and a positive way how you think eschatology affects missions and then church planting. And let's start with the negative, and then you could go on as we continue the discussion into the positive things and why this really matters.
All right. If you think about the way Christ came to the world, Christ's message was an essentially eschatological message, in that the first people to hear Christ's preaching and his teaching, they had to conclude that he was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, and that in fulfilling these prophecies, he should have been identified by everybody as the true Messiah, as the Christ. So, because Christ's preaching and the way he's presented in the New Testament and the way people had to believe in him was essentially an eschatological matter, there is no way to disassociate eschatology from the way we still continue to preach his message today. So, negatively, I think that if we disconnect proper eschatology from preaching, from church planning, from missions, we are in a very important way disconnecting our message today from the way it was originally presented by Christ. Christ's message was, from the very beginning, eschatological, and therefore our message must be too.
Yes, well, I can guess a negative way right off the top of my head, that eschatology can affect church planning, can affect missions, can affect a lot of things, even, you know, general evangelism. If you have an overly pessimistic eschatology, and that is coupled with the fact that you believe the church is going to be rescued off of this sinful planet very soon, and many would say, alive today that are hosting television and radio programs and writing books on the end times or the last days, many of them, if not the vast majority of them, and perhaps even all of them, who are more towards a bent of dispensationalism and also very pessimistic about their eschatology, they would say that Christ's return for the church, at least, the rapture, as they would refer to it, the secret rapture, that's going to happen within our lifetime. So, if you think that Christ is with certainty going to be coming to rescue the church off of this planet any day, and it could be within, you know, it could be within this year, and but it's certainly going to be soon. You may be not focused on other parts of the mission of the church that is our duty to fulfill here on this planet. If you think it's going to be a waste of time because we're going to be raptured away very, very, very soon, that's going to have a negative impact on being salt and light in the world, is it not? If the person who believes that is logically consistent on those beliefs, there are many dispensationalists that don't behave that way, but I think it's because of the fact that, thankfully, they're not logically consistent. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, yes. There's a phrase that somebody says, you don't polish the brass on a sinking ship. So, the extent of your mission is going to depend on how much time you think you have, if you think it extends to future generations, if you think it's just going to go worse and worse, if you think the government will always be the way it is today, if you think that the culture will always either be the way it is today or get worse. So, yeah, you're not going to put effort on that. We only put effort on what we think we can really win. So on a practical level, and very negatively, if you don't have a proper eschatology, if you don't believe in a victorious kingdom of Christ in history, you're not going to try to battle for that victory.
And as a part of that whole concept, what other things are being hindered or harmed in the life and duty of Christians individually and the church as a whole by having an overly pessimistic eschatology?
Well, when we look at the West today, when we look at places like the United States, there's a large number of people who profess Christianity. But the question we have to ask is, why are there so many professing Christians, but Christians are losing at this point in history culturally? Why are there so many professing Christians who cannot overturn the cultural tides that have been destroying Western civilization and civilization elsewhere? I think the answer to that is that they have the wrong mindset. They have the wrong mindset. They're not prepared to win the battle. They don't fight. They don't really understand that they have to fight. So we see that. I mean, look at how many years has abortion been allowed for in the United States? For many decades. We have seen in the past 10 years in several countries, including Brazil and the United States, legalizing homosexual marriage and other terrible things like that. But if there are all these Christians, I mean, they do have the, I think they have the power to do it, to change that, if they have the correct mindset, if they have the correct eschatological view that would lead them to invest the time and the energy that is necessary to change these aspects. We see culture being destroyed in several areas, education, government, you know, our freedoms are being taken away. And I don't think it's because we don't have really the power to do it. I think we have the power to do it, but as a church, we have wrong ideas that have been destroying us.
Well, what positive ways does eschatology affect the life of Christian individuals in the church?
Well, there are many positive ways. We can begin talking about personal evangelism. If I have an optimistic eschatology, I will have this perspective that my ultimate goal, even if I'm not able to do that alone, but our ultimate goal as Christians is to evangelize the entire city. I want to evangelize the entire city, the entire state, the entire country. I want the entire country, the entire city to be Christian, to be personally Christian, not only culturally Christian, but to be personally converted. And that personal conversion, it will lead to institutional changes. It will lead to changes in education. If I have a view that the world will not end in my lifetime, I'm concerned about what kind of education my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren will receive. So I'll be working towards resisting anti-Christian ideas in the realm of education. That will lead us to build schools that'll lead us to fight for educational freedom. If we have this long-term view of evangelistic success, we will not allow for many other bad things that happen. So we will, as Christians, create alternatives, real alternatives. So we'll be positively creating alternatives because we will believe that our society should and must be Christian entirely, and therefore we just can't sit around and let things go the way they are. We got to create alternatives in all areas of life.
And let's pick up right where you left off there. We have to go to our first break right now. If anybody has a question of your own on eschatology, on the end times, on the last things, the last days, and how our understanding of those things affects missions and church planting, and also how they involve the unique challenges in Brazil in both missions and church planting. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I understand that there may be some in the audience who are thinking through some of these things that we are addressing, and you are in a church, for instance, that is vehemently anti-postmillennial or even amillennial for that matter, and you really don't want to identify yourself at this point anyway. Well, I understand those things. You might even be a pastor going through these same challenges in your thinking. And you don't want to identify yourself because even your fellow elders may disagree with you or your denomination. Whatever the case may be, we understand in circumstances like that you would want to remain anonymous. But if it's just a general question on eschatology, on missions, on church planting, on Brazil, on the scriptures, if it's just a general question, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Frank Britto right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcmj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcmj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
And I happen to know for a fact that the NASB is the preferred translation of Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, who has been such an enormous influence in the life of my guest today, Frank Brito, who is a translator, missionary, church planter, and pastor in Brazil. Today we are discussing, if you just tuned us in, how eschatology affects missions and church planting and the challenges of both in Brazil. If you have a question, my email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. One of the other things that I have known and I have heard from missionaries, especially missionaries who were formerly a part of a non-Reformed denomination who sent them out, those with overly pessimistic eschatology, and on top of that, those outside of a Reformed understanding of God's sovereignty over all things, including salvation, they tend to, these mission boards and these denominations, tend to be very impatient with missionaries they send out, and if they do not see numeric growth rather quickly, they will very often yank them off of that mission field. Do you believe that what you are talking about today is one of those positive things? Actually, it's both when you think about it, because on one side, it's a positive thing if you have an optimistic eschatology in regard to missions, because you're going to be more patient. You're going to say, I might not even be used of God within my own lifetime to bring about enormous growth in a particular area, but I know that those from out of every tribe, tongue, and people and nation are going to come to Christ, and therefore the seeds that I am planting here in this foreign land, I believe that they are going to bear fruit, even if it's not while I'm alive. Whereas the negative effect with the one concerning the one who is overly pessimistic in his eschatology, they're going to be not only impatient themselves, but those who sent them are going to be impatient, typically, and say, okay, that's enough, get out. You know, they're not looking at the big picture because they think everything's going to be over very, very soon, especially in regard to the church's work on this planet. So have I made sense so far?
Oh, yes, totally. We have to remember that although we should desire all men to be saved, how that will play out and who's going to be actually be saved, that depends on the Lord.
All right, let's get into right now, specifically, Brazil and the unique challenges that you have faced in regard to missions and church planting.
Okay. You want to know more about Brazil and the context of church planting and the yeah. challenges?
Yeah, the dominant religions of the culture that might oppose
okay, yeah.
what you are teaching, you know, a lot of things that are going on there. And
yeah. Well, Brazil is historically a very strongly Roman Catholic country. John Calvin sent missionaries to Brazil in the 16th century, but most of them got killed. The survivor, he got to escape back to Europe, and he wrote a book called A History of a Voyage to Brazil. So that tells you how hard Brazil has been historically. Besides Roman Catholicism, we have the influence of African pagan religions here, and you'll have things like worship of African gods and belief in reincarnation and people who seek to speak to the dead. So I would say that those are the two biggest religious influences in Brazil, Roman Catholicism and the spiritualist stuff. However, they're not necessarily distinct. Usually people follow both things. They'll go to the mass and they'll also try to contact the dead and worship African gods. And in the midst of that, the Roman Catholic Church was also very significant in terms of the growth of socialism in Brazil. There was a lot of liberation theology here, and you know, Pope Francis, he's from Argentina, but he also had a lot of influence in Brazilian Roman Catholic authorities. So in that context, I don't believe it's possible to evangelize Brazil if you don't have a full worldview that will deal with all areas of life, in that when you convert somebody, that person has this whole religious baggage that they bring, this whole worldview that they bring. And in the context of Brazil, it will frequently be a very mystic worldview, Roman Catholic, socialistic, all at the same time. And if you don't have a complete worldview for them to substitute that with, I believe it is very difficult to evangelize and to see sanctification in Brazil. If they have a complete worldview, you got to have a competing, optimistic Christian worldview to put in place. If you don't, what you're going to get is baptized pagans. So that's basically the scenario in Brazil. And some things will change depending on the region you're in, but that has been what Brazil has been historically. And in the midst of all this opposition, in the midst of these competing worldviews, I really think that it's very important for missionaries who come here and anyone who would want to plant churches to really understand that if you don't offer an optimistic, comprehensive Christian world and life view, you're just going to have baptized pagans.
Well, if you could, because this word is used a lot, probably especially amongst Reformed Christians, but not exclusively, please define worldview. What does that exactly mean?
Okay, in simple terms, a worldview would be the way that you see life, the way that you see God, the way that you see the different aspects of life. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ, he talked about the importance of the eye. In the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, he talks about how your body, in order for it to be light, for the whole body to have light, your eyes have to be good. So worldview means that you're going to stop seeing things in a certain way that is unchristian, and you're going to look at not only strictly religious issues, but you're going to look at all areas of life from a Christian perspective. Education, politics, what humanity is, what a family is, what education is, and all areas of life. You're going to try to look at it from a distinctively Christian, biblical perspective. That would be your world and life view.
And how would a contrasting theology and a contrasting worldview from, let's just take the dominant religion where you are, Roman Catholicism, what would be the dominant problems with a Roman Catholic worldview that would conflict with what you're saying?
Well, one of the chief characteristics of Roman Catholicism is authoritarianism. They have this high view of the church and a high view of what they would call the Pope. And basically, that weakens their position before God, because, you know, you just trust the Pope, you just trust the church. And that's a form of authority which the church becomes like a god, okay? And that's a problem for a Roman Catholic people. That becomes a problem in other areas of life, because if you're trained to be passive, and if you're trained to accept tyranny in a church, you're going to accept tyranny in other areas of life. And then you're going to accept tyranny by the state. And you're going to accept tyranny, you know, wherever it appears. And when you have a distinctively Christian worldview, you understand that the only absolute authority is God. The only absolute authority is Jesus Christ. So because the triune God is the only absolute authority, all other authorities, they are relative, and they are inferior, and they are limited. They are limited in relation to what God has ordained and what God has prescribed. So I believe that Roman Catholicism, it creates a culture of authoritarianism, and because of its view of church authority. And I think that spreads in a Roman Catholic culture to many other areas of life, in contrast to a distinctively biblical and Protestant view of authority, where authority is limited by God, and therefore men, they only have to obey to the extent that you have to obey God, and that's God ordained. And there's another thing. I believe that a Roman Catholic culture, it also is a culture where reading and literacy is not something that is very much incentivated in the Roman Catholic culture. There are places in Brazil where illiteracy is very, very high. And if you talk to the older generations, older men and women at my church, they will tell you that when they grew up Roman Catholic, everybody would say, look, you shouldn't read the Bible, because if you read the Bible, you're going to become crazy. And you shouldn't, you know. Yeah, that was a very common mindset in past generations, a few decades ago. That's the way most people in Brazil thought. That only began to change because evangelical churches started to grow in Brazil. So they started promoting biblical, reading the Bible and things like that. But if you take a purely Roman Catholic society, you have this authoritarianism. You just believe in the church, and that's coupled with a lot of illiteracy because you don't really need to look into things yourself. You just trust the authorities.
Yeah, one might be able to compare socialism in a political way with Roman Catholicism mm-hmm. in a religious way, because both both entities basically say, trust us, we will take care of everything for you.
Yes, we're the specialists.
Yes. Roman Catholicism did not even encourage private scripture of study until the 60s after Vatican II. And then that gave birth to all different kinds of movements, the charismatic Catholic movement and so on. And by the way, there are people out there who think that charismatic Catholics are somehow closer to the truth than the traditional mainline Catholics, and perhaps more Protestant. I have found that not to be the case at all. In fact, charismatic Catholics...
Oh, I don't agree with that either.
Yeah, very often charismatic Catholics tend to be more involved in Marian devotion and things like that. But having said that, and I'm not broad-brushing, there are people who are Roman Catholic who have intense personal Bible studies in their lives that are devoted to reading and studying the scripture. So I'm not saying that this applies to everybody, but you will know if you are a Catholic long enough that those that dominate the population of Catholicism, they leave that up to the priests. They really don't delve into the scriptures. In fact, honest Roman Catholic apologists have actually mildly rebuked their own audiences over this fact, especially if they happen to be Catholics that were formerly Protestant. But I have to go to our midway break right now. If you have
All right.
a question of your own that you'd like to ask Frank Brito about how eschatology affects how eschatology affects church missions and church planting. And also we'll be getting more involved in some of the unique challenges in Brazil. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please be patient with us as this is the longer than normal break in the middle of the show. Use this time wisely by writing down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more successfully and more frequently respond to our advertisers. Because the only way that we can survive is if our advertisers continue to renew their advertising contracts. We need their funding to exist. So keep them happy by responding to them. And if you can't buy their products, use their services, etc., please at least thank them, contact them, and thank them for sponsoring the show. That will go a long way. And also send in your questions to Frank Brito at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We will be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers. programs, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. Find out more about this vital work worldwide. Visit anchoredintruth.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to Him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in His infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of His design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And always remember, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is one of the most very important advertisers on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And without their continued financial support through their advertising campaigns, we would likely not continue to exist, barring a miracle from God financially, of course. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And remember, folks, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish nothing but the finest, the very finest in Christian literature from a Reform perspective, going back all the way to the Protestant Reformation and extending all the way forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who providentially, since we are talking about postmillennialism today, might interest many of you to know that Dr. White, if you haven't discovered this already, has become a postmillennialist. But go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and remember that website, especially when you're purchasing gifts for loved ones, and in addition to replenishing your own library and for your own self-edification. Before I return to our discussion today with Frank Britto, who is a translator, a missionary, a church planter, and a pastor in Brazil, and our discussion is on how eschatology affects missions and church planting. Before I return to that discussion, I just have a couple of important announcements to make. If you are a man in ministry leadership, I ask of you, please, to do whatever you can to rearrange your schedule in order to be in Carlisle, Pennsylvania on Monday, September 27th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bongiorno Conference Center in Carlisle. I am having my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon there at the Bongiorno Center. And it is going to be, I am anticipating, one of the best luncheons that we've ever had, because my favorite preacher on the planet Earth, and I'm not exaggerating, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who is pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, he is going to be my guest speaker at the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. And so not only are you going to be fed for free and hear Dr. Mbewe for free, you're also going to be leaving there with a heavy sack of brand new free books, personally selected by me, that have been donated by major Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. So I really hope that you can be there Monday, September 27th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bongiorno Conference Center in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. For more details, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. I hope to see you there. Also, folks, continue to pray for my sister-in-law, Jan, the widow of my late brother, John, who just passed away and entered into eternity with Christ several weeks ago. Jan is in the hospital battling COVID and pneumonia, and she has been in the hospital for quite a number of weeks, and apparently the doctors believe she's going to be remaining there for a number of weeks at least, maybe months, maybe longer. Please pray for her. Pray for her physically and spiritually. I ask of you also, folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, you can, if you prefer snail mail, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can make checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and send them out to the address that you see on your screen if you prefer snail, if you prefer snail mail through your postal service. For those of you who want to advertise, please send me an email, because we could really use your advertising dollars as well. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And, of course, put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you are desiring to promote is compatible with what I believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe, then please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We really do need your advertising dollars as well to remain on the air. We are facing some very serious financial struggles, largely because of the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic. And this harming many people in our audience financially. So the giving has gone down dramatically, and therefore we need to replenish it with new benefactors, new supporters, and new advertisers. So please help us. Remember, folks, having said all that, I don't want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to their own church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never do that. I have said this many times, but I think it bears repeating. One of the main reasons I founded Iron Sharpens Iron Radio was to be a helping hand, a platform, an extension, and a friend to the local pastor and the local church. And I don't want to do anything that harms or hinders the work of the local pastor and the local church, including financially. So please don't do anything that will hinder or harm your church financially by giving to us. Also, do not plunge your family into further financial peril if you are already struggling to survive, to make ends meet, by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for church and family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you love this show, you listen to it regularly, either live or you download the MP3s, you listen to the podcast, and you love the show, and you benefit greatly from it. Well, please, if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, you have extra money for recreational and trivial purposes, please use some of that money to help us survive. We really need it. And therefore, if you love the show, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church that's biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid, I have lists, extensive lists, spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live. I have helped many people in our audience in all parts of the world find churches, sometimes even within a few minutes of their houses, that they didn't even know existed, or they didn't know that the churches that they pass by every day were theologically sound. So, no matter where you live, and that includes Brazil now, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in questions to our guest today, Frank Brito, who is a translator, a missionary, a church planter, and pastor in Brazil. And we are talking about how eschatology affects missions and church planting. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put and send in your question and give us at least your first name, your city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we have an anonymous questioner who is remaining anonymous because his family is Roman Catholic. He doesn't want to offend them right at this point, but he is saying, in regards to the Catholicism that you are surrounded by in Brazil, is it different in any meaningful way from the Catholicism you experienced in New York? I know that sometimes when people go abroad, especially in Latin American countries, they find a striking difference in the level of idolatry that takes place and the level of ferocious attachment to Roman Catholicism that exists, whereas here in the United States, there are probably a predominant number of Catholics that are more nominal and perhaps have even been Protestantized, and not so often in good ways. I'm speaking more to the effect of blending in with modern wishy-washy evangelicalism. But if you could, tell us what your own experiences are in Brazil in regard to Catholicism.
Okay, that's a good question. In my experience, it seems that in New York City, priests tended to be more liberal. And here, they are less liberal in the sense of believing in things like scriptural stories. In New York City, they would tend to say that some more things are not literal and things like that. But I would say that Catholicism has a general tendency of blending in to the environment it's in. So here in Brazil, it's very common for Roman Catholics to, they have an equivalency between Roman Catholic saints and these gods, these African gods. So they'll have this African god and they'll say that's equivalent to St. Peter. They'll have this other African god and they'll say that's equivalent to St. John and things like that. So I would say that there is a difference, but not that in New York City idolatry was not involved, but that there is a tendency to adapt and to get cultural, to get closer to the cultural environment. So in New York City, there are more liberals and things like that, so that's where they will gravitate to. And here, they kind of gravitate to things that are more common in Latin American culture. But here's another thing I would add. The big difference is that in the United States, Roman Catholicism was not as big as a force as it was in Latin America. So for many centuries, Roman Catholicism was, I mean, other churches were illegal in Brazil. And even up to the time of the 20th century, it was very common for real persecution to happen, like physical attacks against evangelical churches. In the generation of my great grandmother, the brother of my great grandmother, he was a church planter in northeast Brazil, Presbyterian church planter in northeast Brazil. And at that time, churches would be stoned if you had a Protestant church in the city. That church would be stoned, and the pastor would get death threats. And that was very common in Brazil. Now, what happens is that when you have that level of power, you have less of a need to adapt yourself to surrounding cultures. So when you have less power, you need to adapt more, so you look more like the people around you. So I would say that in Latin America, they were more real to their ideals because they had more power and they had all this influence. Whereas in the United States, they didn't have as much power as they did in Brazil. And that's where I get back to the worldview thing. You see, it's not just a religion, like something narrowly defined. It's a worldview. It's a whole worldview on how you relate to things around you.
Having said all that you said about the church, the Roman Catholic Church, that is, having less of a need in their minds to capitulate to the whims of the non-Roman Catholic surroundings that they have.
Yes.
How, if at all, do Roman Catholic priests and bishops and any in authority publicly address the adopting of Roman Catholics in Brazil of the pagan culture? Now, obviously, we as Protestants believe that much that is intrinsically a part of Roman Catholicism is already pagan. But as far as the African animism and idolatry and the specific things that are have their origins outside of Catholicism that have been incorporated to the piety and devotion and worship of Roman Catholics in Brazil. How is the church standing against that, if at all?
Well, I think that's that capitulation, that's actually part, historically part of Roman Catholicism. That's part of how they would deal with pagan nations where they went to, you know, doing mission work. They would try to win pagan converts by making Roman Catholicism appear similar to what they already believed in. So that's something that exists since the origin of Brazil. They would have, that's how they dealt with slaves. So they would tell the slaves, look, you can be a Roman Catholic because you believe in this African God. Well, he's Saint Peter. Well, that's something, that's not something that the pagans did in Brazil. That's how the Jesuits here would operate. That's not something that the African pagans or the Indians did. That was something introduced by the Roman Catholic itself. So I don't think that practice, I think that's actually very real to, that's part of what Roman Catholicism is. They adapt the pagan doctrines and the pagan beliefs, they adapt and they say, well, this is equivalent to that, that's equivalent to that. And the Jesuits in Brazil were actually very proud of that. They were actually very proud. And that's one of the things they will say that Protestants were very radical about. If you read some of the older stuff, they will say that Protestants, they're very radical about eliminating other beliefs. Now, having that said, we come back to the issue of how I believe that Roman Catholicism, with this practice, with this view, it doesn't really break with paganism. There's no essential break with paganism. So people will feel that they're Roman Catholics, but they'll still have this pagan mindset. And that's where I think that we as Protestants, if we don't have a very clear and distinct biblical worldview, we're going to fall into that same trap. We're going to try to Christianize pagan ideas and pagan concepts, not only in strictly religious aspects, but in all areas of life.
We have, let's see, BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and BB says, how do you respond to the opponents of postmillennialism who say that it is a product of 19th century liberalism that taught that things would just keep getting better and better and better, much in the same line as Darwinian evolution, that things just progressively improve? And therefore, postmillennialism is just a part of that false liberal concept.
Okay, that's a good question. And I would respond that those who say that, they're inferring what things really are. They're putting the carts before the horse. What happens is that you just have to show that postmillennialism, it historically precedes 19th century liberalism. So if we look at the authors of the Westminster Standards, which was from the 17th century, you see, you know, postmillennialism was already there. When we look at the Dutch Reform, the Reformed Christians from the Netherlands, if we look at the annotations of the Bible, the Dutch Bible that came from the Netherlands during the Synod of Dort, that was in the 17th century, it's thoroughly postmillennialist. If we look at the church fathers, if we read church fathers like Athanasius of Alexandria and others, they had an optimistic eschatology. So if these people, I mean, in the Reformation era, in the 17th century, the Puritans, the Dutch Reform, if they had a postmillennialist eschatology, then we can't say that it is a product of 19th century liberalism. I would say that actually the optimism that the liberals had, it was actually a byproduct of Christendom. They came from a background in 19th century, these liberals, they had this background of a Christian society, of Christendom. And then they picked up parts of it, and they maintained it, and they adapted it to their view. But the optimism of the liberals, it actually came from the Christians which preceded them. So all we have to do is show that Christians before them were already optimistic, and then that will prove that the liberals are the one who stole some of these concepts from us.
Yeah, and it is interesting, I'm no historian, but from my cursory knowledge of history, during the rise of the biblical critics, the textual critics and leftism coming out of Germany especially and beginning to pour into the United States and England, there was a decline in postmillennialism. That's when, I mean, the 19th century is the era in which dispensationalism was born. Pre-tribulationalism did not even exist before the 19th century. Premillennialism did, but it was not a dominant eschatology throughout the prior 18 centuries. And so therefore, it can't be a product of 19th century liberalism, because that's when postmillennialism nearly disappeared.
Yeah, I would say that postmillennialism decreased a lot, mainly due to things that happened in the 20th century, which I believe was actually a result of all this liberalism and humanism. If we look at the way that many of the wars happened, you know, the two world wars, that's a direct result of humanism and liberalism. So I would say that the loss of hope, the loss of optimism, that's a result of when humanism and liberalism grows in a society, you get so many disasters that people begin to lose hope.
We have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, some enemies of postmillennialism accuse postmillennialists of being far too involved in ecumenism with Roman Catholics and those of other religions who are trying to change the culture for the better in regards to things like the Holocaust of abortion and same-sex marriage and other things that all Christians who love the Lord and His Word should vehemently and adamantly oppose. But the problem comes when we link arms with those who reject the gospel and Christianize them merely because they agree on the social and moral aspects of the fight being fought. Would you agree that postmillennialists far too often do link arms with those who reject the gospel in order to rescue and transform the world?
Well, I think that there may be postmillennialism who fall into the trap into getting too deep into an involvement with non-Christians. I think that may happen with some, but I do not think it is inherent in postmillennialism itself. And I would say that getting too deep with unbelievers is actually contrary to authentic postmillennialism, because authentic postmillennialism, the gospel advances and grows, Christendom advances and grows primarily through the preaching of the gospel, not primarily through political action, not primarily through involvement with things like that, but primarily with the preaching of the Word of God. And if I have the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the Word of God in the forefront, if that's what I'm primarily talking about, if that's what I give most importance to, well, actually, the unbelievers themselves, if they're deep in their unbelief, they don't want to associate with me. So if you're constantly with these people and they're not bothered by you, if you're constantly with, you know, fake believers and pagans and humanists and things like that, and that may mean that you're not really preaching the gospel. So I would not say that we cannot cooperate on any level with unbelievers, because 1 Corinthians 6, Paul talks about, you know, we would have to leave the world if we can't interact with them in any level. But I would say that authentic postmillennialism puts gospel presentation, gospel preaching, regeneration, authentic regeneration in first place. Therefore, if you're constantly talking about the gospel, those who do not repent, they themselves will not want to associate with your ideas. So you have, if you have your ideas that easily is being accepted by unbelievers, maybe you're not doing authentic postmillennial work. And I agree that some people who identify themselves as postmillennialists are like that, but I would not say that it is the position of the majority of the authors who have defended.
Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County says that I have heard those who reject postmillennialism accuse it of works righteousness, in that the world will be Christianized through human effort. How is one to respond to such accusations?
Well, that accusation is responded to with a proper understanding of the work of sanctification. Scripture teaches us that when we believe in the gospel of grace, we are justified not on the basis of our own works, but on the basis of the work of Christ. His finished work, his complete work, that's that which he accomplished on the cross. So that is justification. We are forgiven, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed unto us. And because we are justified, we are also sanctified. That means that God, on the basis of the work of Christ, sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And then we got to ask ourselves, well, what is the Holy Spirit sent for? What is his mission? Why did God make us temples of the Holy Spirit? Well, if we read Ezekiel chapter 36, if we read Romans chapter 8, and many other passages, the role, the mission of the Holy Spirit is to make us obey the law of God. So we are to obey the law of God. That is what a life of repentance is. And all we have to do is ask ourselves, is there any area of life, is there any area of my life, whether it's when I'm working, when I'm at my job, when I'm in a class, when I'm studying, when I'm at church, is there any area of my life in which I do not have to obey the law of God? And to be more specific, is there any area of my life in which the Holy Spirit will not empower me to obey the law of God? So if the Holy Spirit is the one who leads me, Romans 8, Ezekiel 36, to obey the law of God, then it is not works righteousness. So when I'm, if a Christian is in government, if a Christian, he's in a university, if a Christian's at work, if a Christian, whatever Christian's doing, he has to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if he does it in the power of the Holy Spirit, what happens? He's going to obey the law of God. That's what the Holy Spirit was given us to us for. So that is not work righteousness. To the contrary, it is to live a life in the flesh. It is to live a life out of the Spirit, out of Christ, when we live a life of rebellion. In any area of life, in any aspect of life, if we are practicing the works of the flesh, which are contrary to works of righteousness, that's when we are living our lives on the basis of our own works, and we are rejecting the power of the Spirit of Christ in our lives.
And we have to go to our final break. If you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com, ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Frank Britto right after these messages.
Back together again, yeah.
Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves. or I can walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more, or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free, and put good literature in your children's hands.
And remember, folks, if you want Ignited by the Word to continue advertising with us so that we can remain on the air, then please go to ignitedbytheword.org, ignitedbytheword.org, and order a subscription for your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, the children and grandchildren of your friends, and on we could go. We thank them for actually rescuing us out of a very frightening time financially with this new annual advertising campaign. So go to ignitedbytheword.org today and order 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 subscriptions, depending upon how many children are somehow connected to your lives. That's ignitedbytheword.org. Well, before we run out of time, I want to have priority in your summation of what you think is most important about this topic before I take any more listener questions. So let us know what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we run out of time today.
Well, in Matthew 28, when Jesus Christ sends his apostles with the mission of teaching the nations, I believe it is very important to understand that that is not merely a command. With that command, there was a promise. Not only his apostles and the church was commanded to teach whatever he taught, to preach the gospel, but there is a promise that they would be effective. The church will be effective in conquering the nations and leading all men everywhere, all nations, all people, all tongues, to submit themselves to the rule of Jesus Christ. What Christ commanded in the Great Commission, that will be true in history. All nations will come to the Lord.
And by the way, just a word, one of our previous questioners was asking how to counteract or respond to the accusations that the postmillennialism involves works righteousness, because they claim that through human effort the world will be converted and Christianized. Well, the thing that's somewhat ironic about that accusation is that the vast majority of postmillennialists are Reformed, and Reformed Christians don't even believe that their own will, the will that exists in the heart and mind of a unregenerate, lost individual who has a heart of stone, we don't even believe that is involved in our salvation, let alone the salvation of others. So it's actually somewhat comical that Reformed people could be accused of believing in works righteousness. I've even heard some anti-Calvinists say that about perseverance in the saints, the fact that we believe that persevering is a sign of someone truly being of the elect and truly being justified, that persevering involves some kind of works righteousness, which is ridiculous, because we believe that it is God that is preserving us. God himself is the one preserving us. So, you know, these are easily refuted accusations, especially when you're talking... Go ahead.
The work of converting the world is not a human work. It is a work of the Spirit.
Amen. And by the way, folks, you might hear me, you're listening to the show today, you might think that I am also a postmillennialist. I have not yet been convicted or convinced of that position. I am not anti-postmillennial. Many of my guests are postmillennial, and I love postmillennialist preachers, teachers, theologians, scholars, and authors. I would consider myself an optimistic amillennialist, but I am also open to the fact that I may one day become a postmillennialist. I'm just wanted to throw that out there because some people think that I'm always identically in agreement with my guests because I'm affirming so much of what they are saying. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who happens to be a very faithful supporter and listener of this program. Greetings, brothers. Are the biblical Christians persecuted by their families and friends? I'm assuming he means in Brazil, and I'm not really sure what level of persecution he's speaking about. And then he asks a second question, how big of a problem was slavery in Brazil? So let's start with the persecution. First of all, what kind of persecution of believers exists in Brazil, and is this happening by the born-again believers' own family and friends?
Well, it's not as big as a problem today as it was, let's say, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But I would say that it still exists in more rural areas, further away from the big cities, in that if you become an evangelical Christian, sometimes your family will no longer want to have anything to do with you. Sometimes the local supermarket, they will not want to sell you anymore, so they'll say, well, I'm not going to sell you because you're not a Roman Catholic anymore. That still happens in some of the more places distant from the big cities, but not as much as it used to, let's say, 30, 40 years ago. And regarding the second question, can you repeat that part again?
The second part, he was asking about the history of Brazil in regard to slavery. How big of a problem was slavery?
It was much, much, much a bigger problem than it was in the United States. I think Brazil was a country in the New World which had the biggest amount of slaves. If you compare the numbers with the United States has had a very small quantity of slaves. And we made it illegal. We ended the slave trade after the United States, and we had like millions and millions more. So I see the United States, the slavery in the United States, it was very small compared to Brazil.
Now, what is the ethnic diversity like in Brazil? Obviously, it's considered a part of the Latin American countries, but are there a large number of African descendants, Caucasians, etc.? What is the diversity like?
Well, that all depends on what part of the country you're in. Where I live, which is southern Brazil, most people, or a lot of people, they come from German descent and Italian. Germans and Italians colonized where I live.
Yeah, I believe the boys from Brazil are definitely from German descent. I'm only kidding. That's a movie that I won't go into right now. But we are actually out of time right now, and I want to make sure that you provide any contact information that our listeners can use to get in touch with you if they care to.
Well, if they enter Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, which is Joe Moorcraft's church, there's a section in that website called Missions. And there's some information in case anyone wants to read on some of the work I'm doing and contact me. I think they have my email there. I think that'll be easier to remember than my Brazilian church name. Heritage Presbyterian Church, there's a mission section, Joe Moorcraft's church. and you can see some information about what we're doing, translation. I think they have something on translation there. And my email, in case someone wants to contact me, is brito.hanover@gmail.com.
And that specific website that Frank Brito was speaking about is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. I want to thank you so much, Frank, for being an excellent guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.